Welcome to another episode of the Meathead on the Mic podcast. This is the number one podcast for anyone on this planet, country, or nation who wants to get in the best physical shape for their next vacation. I'll be giving you actionable value to help you with mindset, training, and nutrition to help you transform your life. Disclaimer, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Not because I want to be mean, but because I genuinely respect you. Also, I'm a meathead. So if you tune in and decide to give me the time out of your life that you know you'll never get back, the very least I can do for you is keep it a stack. Expect to be educated, motivated, and inspired. And get ready to laugh over some lighthearted banter. Now that that's out the way, let's chat with IFBB Pro Matt Butale. Get ready, meatheads. Time to dive in. Yo, what's good? What's happening? Welcome to another episode of the Meathead on the Mic podcast. Hope you guys and girls are enjoying your day today. We're going to be diving on into this one very quickly. It's going to be very short, very sweet. We're going to be talking about how to reduce your gut size. All right, so I'll be giving you 8 simple tips on how to do that. All right, so if that's something you struggle with, if you sitting down listening to this right now can put an earbud, an Apple AirPod in your belly button and it fits, you have no choice but to listen to this episode. It's fucking mandatory because these 8 steps are very simple. They're things that you can do right now that will help you get rid of that extra fat that you have in your stomach, okay? So if you want to lose belly fat, pay attention. You might want to pull out a pad. You might want to pull out a pen and actually do what I'm going to tell you to do, okay? So I hope you're having an amazing day, and I want to make it a little bit better with this free game with these 8 steps. But before we dive into that, I want to remind you guys, if you do get value from this podcast or anything that I do, don't hesitate to like, share, and comment, or leave a review on this podcast, wherever you're listening to this. You know, I wouldn't be able to do this without you guys, and I really appreciate you. If you weren't listening, I don't know who would be. Okay, so let's get right into it. Very quickly, 8 steps to reduce the size of your gut so that you could actually have a clear view of downstairs. Do you know what I'm saying? I heard, again, this is real. I'm not trying to be an asshole. I know a lot of you guys that do have huge guts that hang over your belt buckle can't really see what's going on down there as well as the guys who don't have that fat in the way, all right? So I know it's a little bit of a sensitive topic, but as a man, I don't really feel too ashamed to tell you guys that this is a conversation that you can have with me. This is a conversation that you should be having with yourself or that you probably already are. So I'm just honestly giving that voice in your head a microphone here and giving you shit today that can help you fix that problem. So step number one out of the 8 quick steps for you to reduce the fat on your gut so that it doesn't hang over your belt buckle, so that you can actually have a clear view of what's going on downstairs, is very simple. You know this one already, to be eating well. Okay, so number one is eat well. And what do I mean when I say eat well? Well, I'm saying choose a variety of healthy foods like fruits, veggies, whole grains, and lean proteins, and watch your portion sizes and limit the processed or sugary food. So processed and sugary food themselves, essentially, if you do manage your portions correctly, don't really matter that much. However, you want to develop a better habit, a better, we'll say, dietary discipline that will allow you to control yourself and limit yourself from eating things that you know you could easily lose control with. Like sugary or processed foods are really fucking easy to, you know, it's hard to stop eating them. Like once you start having them, you just want more of them. And unless you're really disciplined with your diet, or as I like to say, unless you have dietary discipline, it becomes very difficult to control portions if you're using processed foods or sugary foods in your diet, which you can still use to lose fat. Don't get it twisted. But if you are just beginning, I would not recommend you do that. If you are somewhere down the line, if you are an intermediate or an advanced person in your fitness journey, then absolutely have at it, because you've developed that dietary discipline. But outside of that, stick to whole, clean, homemade foods. You know, stay away from ordering out. Stay away from eating out several times in the week, you know, because, again, you won't really have control over the portions and the ingredients that are in those foods, usually the oils that sneak up on you or the sauces that sneak up on you and throw on those extra calories, all right? So you're playing a guessing game when you're ordering food. Even if you think that this burrito bowl is healthy because it's a burrito bowl, you don't really know the exact calories from that burrito bowl. And that sort of ties into the whole caloric equation here, right? You've heard me say it several times, calories in, calories out. The amount of calories you consume has to be less than the amount of calories that you need in order to grow weight or to maintain your weight, aka calorie deficit, in order for you to be losing weight, okay? And when you're applying this calorie deficit, especially if we're at the beginning, guys, you want to eat well, as I said. Choose a variety of healthy foods like fruits, veggies, and whole grain, carbs, as well as lean proteins, all right? And make that the majority, 80 to 90% of what you consume. And as you get more experienced, as you develop more results, and you reduce some of the size of your gut, then you can start to incorporate a little bit of processed goods and a little bit of sugary foods. Granted, you are still in control of the portions. All right, so that's step number one, eat well. All right, and that also includes factoring the calorie deficit. So the second thing, guys, is to move regularly. Very simple. Most of these things on the list, you already know like what they are and that you should be doing them. But I'm going to be breaking them down to you in very simplistic ways, or at least giving you the extra layer that you need to learn about in order to truly take advantage of the information that exists, or maybe find a way to apply it in your life. So moving regularly, what does this mean? Okay, well, I'll give you a guideline. You want to aim for at least 150 minutes to 200 minutes of moderate exercise each and every single week. And that could be cardio itself, that could be weightlifting itself, or that could be both, meaning you divide it in half, 75 minutes weightlifting, 75 minutes of cardio throughout the week. Okay? I personally would recommend that you do 100 to 150 minutes per week of cardio, and that you at least go to the gym for 3 days a week. I wouldn't even put a time. A timestamp on that. Go to the gym 3 days a week and make sure that you use your muscles enough, until so much so that you break a sweat. And if you don't have an idea as to like what you want to do when you go into the gym, well, look in the mirror. Look at your shoulders and say, hey, and again, this might be a little bit difficult because you really can't see your frame. If you have, the chances of you having fat all over your body are very high if you have a lot of fat on your stomach. But if you're one of those people that only carry or mostly carry fat in a specific area, what I'm going to say is going to be a little bit easier for you. But regardless, you want to look in the mirror and you want to look at, say, hey, my shoulders are a little bit flat, or they look weak. I don't like the way they look, so I want to work on those. My chest is, I've got man boobs, like whatever it is. I got a pigeon chest, or my back isn't showing. I want to have a bigger, V taper. I want a smaller waist, right? So look at yourself in the mirror, design your dream body for yourself, and then create a workout program, or look in the gym and look around and learn. Again, there's no shame in learning from what other people are doing, but learn about the movements that other people are doing for those specific muscle groups. And again, there's no shame in copying it because we're all in the gym to be better, right? Or you could just be a very, very simple person and Google it. Google any workout program. I swear to God, guys, there are thousands of them for free. So just Google it and find a workout program. Use it 3 days a week in conjunction with doing cardio 100 to 150 minutes a week. I think the health guideline says to do it about 150 minutes, but guys, you don't have to be fucking perfect. You just have to start, and anything's better than nothing, right? If you can't do 150 minutes or 100 minutes of cardio per week, right, by basically doing the treadmill or riding the bike at the gym for 20 to 15 to 20 to 30 even minutes a day, depending on the days that you do go and the days that you do that, you can also, if you have an Apple Watch or if you have a phone, which you most likely fucking do, calculate your steps. Download an app to calculate your steps. Most phones have I think Google has a health app, and Apple has their health app as well. They calculate steps. So you want to aim for 10,000 steps per day. If you cannot get your 100 to 150 minutes of cardio in on a treadmill, on a bike, on an elliptical, or whatever variation of cardio you decide. Okay, so make sure you're getting that much cardio in, 100 to 150 minutes every 7 days, as well as going to the gym at least 3 days per week. 3 to 4 is ideal, okay? And if you're really struggling with time, then 2 days, or you can train 3 to 4 to 5 days at home if you have home equipment. Guys, make sure you're moving regularly in conjunction with step number one, which is eating well, if you want to reduce your fat on your stomach. All right, so the third thing, guys, that I want to bring to your attention when it comes to reducing the size of your gut is managing stress. Okay, so you're probably like, what the fuck? Like, why does this matter, managing stress? Like, okay, I know you know about eating well. You know you have to eat well to burn fat. That's a no-brainer. You know you have to move regularly in order to burn fat. That's also a no-brainer, right? But managing stress, like, what does it have to do with your gut? Well, if you didn't know, guys, stress, lack of sleep, which is actually going to be the next point, but stress, lack of sleep, or any external factors that you endure in your life have a negative or an adverse effect on your body because of the hormone cortisol. Okay, so if you haven't heard of cortisol, cortisol is released when we are in very stressful situations or when we are getting like horrible sleep quality. And chances are, if you have a big gut, you likely do have horrible sleep quality because most people that have a big gut are of course, overweight. And overweight people, most often than not, suffer with sleep apnea. And sleep apnea is basically when you're sleeping, like think of you're snoring, and there are large gaps of I guess non-breathing in between your inhale and exhale because of the amount of mass that you have on your body and the obstruction in your throat for you to breathe. For some people, it's genetic. Some people, they have like obstructions in their throat and they're just, they're not even obese. They're not even chronically overweight, but they struggle with breathing. They have sleep apnea, so they get the CPAP machine. But more often than not, it's because you're obese that you suffer with sleep apnea. And when you have sleep apnea, the amount of oxygen that you are able to intake in your sleep is decreased, causing you to feel tired no matter how many fucking hours of rest you are getting. Which is probably why, like, if you're getting a good amount of rest, which we're gonna be talking about in the next step, you're waking up and you're still tired and you just feel groggy and you can't think straight, you are likely struggling with sleep apnea. But don't take my word for it. Go to the doctor, run your tests, and then conclude if, maybe getting a CPAP machine might be the thing for you. Or of course, losing weight will definitely be one of the major things that's going to help you in controlling your breathing at night so that you don't struggle with sleep apnea, so you can get higher quality sleep, not just more sleep, but higher quality sleep. And on top of that, you can reduce or control the amount of cortisol you produce, which is going to make it a little bit easier for you to burn stomach fat. Why? Well, because cortisol makes it a little bit harder for us to burn fat. It makes it a little bit harder for us to. So if you are aware of water weight, if you've ever heard anyone say, I've got a lot of water weight, or I don't have a lot of fat, it's just a lot of water, I'm retaining water, right? Cortisol causes you to retain water as well, which of course isn't a really pretty look for your gut, okay? So the more cortisol you have, the worse your physique is going to look, and the worse you are likely going to feel and operate. So you want to make sure that you are managing your stress, because stress outside of sleep is one of the main contributing factors for you to create cortisol, for you to, we'll say, secrete cortisol. All right, so practice relaxation techniques if it's that bad, such as deep breathing and meditation or yoga. I personally go into the sauna at the end of every workout, so maybe. I go to the gym 4 to 7 days a week, depending on where I am in my prep. But at the end of my workout, I'd sit in the sauna or stand in the sauna and do stretches, static stretches, and do deep breathing while I listen to some white noise or anything like that, just to clear my mind. And for I'm not obese. I mean, technically I am, but I'm made of mostly muscle, so it's not the same type of obese. But again, nonetheless, it's obesity if we're going by the BMI scale here. And managing stress, or at least outside of obesity, managing stress and focusing on what I want to do in my life and, the goals that I set for myself, it's a little bit easier to do when I'm in the sauna. It's a little bit quieter. The heat, it's the heat is almost like a distraction. And the more, this is how I go on about it. The more I can distract myself from like being bothered with the heat, like the less the heat bothers me and the more focused I am on stretching and breathing, the better I end up feeling once I leave the sauna. Also, when I leave the sauna and the next day I go into workout, regular air just feels easier to breathe. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it has a slight benefit in my performance. Again, this is anecdotal. I'm not really giving you anything based off of any studies here, but I personally feel like I can get more oxygen in. I can breathe just a little bit better because I go to the sauna so regularly. All right. So that's another thing there. That's number three. Manage your stress, practice relaxation techniques such as deep breathing, meditation, or yoga. Guys, I personally do a form of deep breathing and meditation, and I wouldn't say yoga, but it is stretching and it's all in the sauna. Okay, so that's tip number three out of the 8 steps, the 8 tips for you to reduce your belly fat. All right, so the fourth thing, guys, is, as I said, we were going to talk about it, we're sort of going to tie into this topic, which is sleep, man. fucking sleep. I understand a lot of you guys listening to this, you have jobs, like you are on a schedule, you have to go to work and you have things to do, you got kids to take care of, you got all this shit to do, and I get it, totally get it. But you need to prioritize sleep. And as bad as it sounds, I would recommend even trying to catch up on sleep during the weekends or throughout the day if you have a chance for a nap, if you can get an hour in, if you can get 30 minutes in. Honestly, it'd be better if you got an hour in. If it doesn't make you too drowsy and make it too difficult for you to pick up after that nap and go on with the rest of your day, I'd recommend doing it. And the reason why is, again, ties into number three, as we just talked about. It will help you manage your stress. But on top of that, that's where all of our recovery is done. If you are listening to this properly and you are following step number two, which is to move regularly, and you are actually busting your ass, you are actually putting in a legitimate effort, you will need to rest and your body will need to repair. Right? And where do we do this resting and repairing? In our sleep. Our body secretes the hormones that are needed, that are necessary for us to heal. Again, we're in a state of inaction, so our body is literally recouping, and your brain gets to sort of play on a lower drive, right? So you're not thinking all those things that make you anxious, that make you worry, they don't exist temporarily, unless you're having a fucking nightmare in your sleep, which is, I mean, I hope that doesn't happen every night. But guys, you have to get your rest. And when I say get rest, I mean get 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep each night. All right, quality sleep. So what is quality sleep? Again, I'm going to just allude to this specific thing that I said, which is sleep apnea. We talked about sleep apnea very briefly, and I'm gonna mainly focus on that because if you do have a big gut, you likely do struggle with sleep apnea. And again, I'm not gonna diagnose you here because I fucking can't, and I'm not a doctor, and you don't even know if you have it, so you can't diagnose yourself because you're not a doctor listening to this or watching this. So I'd recommend that you go to the doctor and talk about sleep apnea if you've noticed that if you get 6 to 9 or 10 hours even plus of sleep and you still feel groggy, you still feel tired, it's likely due to the lack of the quality of your sleep. So again, guys, just check it out with the doctor. If you are overweight, if you are obese and you know it, and you struggle with getting quality sleep, like you're always tired, no matter how much sleep you get, how much rest you get, no matter how many naps you take in the day, definitely, definitely go talk to your doctor about sleep apnea and work on getting that quality sleep. You can do sleep studies. You can do so many things nowadays with all this amazing technology to improve the quality of your sleep so that you can get a more recovery in your sleep and so that you can feel a little bit better moving on day after day, performing better in the gym, being a little bit more cognitive, and again, producing less cortisol, which makes losing belly fat a lot more efficient. All right, so that was number four, which is sleep well. Get quality sleep, 7 to 9 hours every single night. So step number five out of the 8 steps for reducing your belly fat, guys, is to stay hydrated. All right, so you want to drink enough water throughout the day. Why is this important? Why is this important? I'll give you a little example as to why this is important. And I'll tell you personally, firsthand, at the Natural Nomad Academy, when there was somebody that joins that is around 250 plus pounds, no matter how tall they are, within the first 1 to 3 weeks, they can lose 10 to 15 fucking pounds. And that's abnormal. All right? Like 3 weeks, that's 5 pounds a week, sometimes even more. But I've personally witnessed like nothing more than like 8 pounds a week for the first week. And they're thinking, oh, wow, I'm burning so much fat. When in reality, and this is kind of fucking disgusting, all right? When in reality, most of that weight, I mean, some of it's going to be fat, some of it's going to be water weight, but most of it in the first 1 to 3 weeks is actually stool. What is stool for some of you guys that don't know what it is? It's shit. It's crap. It's garbage. All right, so when I say garbage, I'm talking about you literally have shit, you have fecal matter in your intestines that is finally being pushed out once you start to get physically active, once you start to eat foods that are higher in fiber, once you start to eat foods that are more in alignment with your gut health, and once you start to what? Get hydrated, okay? When you don't drink enough water or when you are internally dehydrated, your body will struggle with bowel movements, which is going to cause bloating, which is going to cause cramping, which is going to, it can cause so many fucking issues, okay? You can even fuck up your hormones, like on a like a retrospective effect. So you want to make sure that you are drinking enough water. What does this mean? Regardless of your height, I would recommend that you drink 2 to 3 liters of water to start every single day. If you are extremely active, if you got a fuck ton of muscle, of course this doesn't apply to you. You can catch yourself drinking 5, 6, 7 liters of water a day. Of course, granted that you are accompanying that with the required amount of electrolytes, or at least a necessary amount that varies per person, all right, meaning sodium and potassium, magnesium, those micronutrients, you want to make sure you're getting a good amount of it from your diet, if anything, most of it from your diet, but also I'd recommend supplementing it because drinking that much water can be fucking dangerous. It will dilute the micronutrients in your system, it will dilute the electrolytes in your system, and can put you in, and literally can kill you, can put you in the hospital, make you hypertensive. So if you're, you sweat a lot, you sweat doing cardio, you sweat training really, really, really hard, and you sweat in the sauna, like basically all those three things are like me, you want to basically replenish your micronutrients and your electrolytes if you're drinking that much water every single day. But for the majority of you guys listening to this, you're not gonna have to apply any of that because this, I'm a pro bodybuilder, and what I just said applies to those people that are at that level. But for the average human being that wants to get rid of their gut, that wants just look a little bit better, 2 to 3 liters of water a day is like the perfect place to start, and I think it's the perfect place to stay. It's very easy to maintain that should you start drinking your water very early in the morning. Okay, so it's, again, stay hydrated in the morning. Make it the first thing you actually put into your body after you brush your teeth because it will give you a beautiful fucking bowel movement. All right? Like, when I say beautiful, I mean you'll feel fucking fresh. Like, you drink your first liter of water, first 500 milliliters of water, which is just a bottle. All right? And within the 30 minutes, you should be passing by the washroom. And then when that happens, you feel clear and your bowel movements, they started. It started. And you want to make sure that you're doing that consistently. I'd say, honestly, at the same time every single day to encourage your body to meet or to create a new homeostasis, which just means like a new level of like a new normal where you're digesting consistently and your bowel is completely emptying and you don't have that issue of having backed up stool or backed up shit in your stomach as most of the people do that have that gut. And believe it or not, if you're listening to this and your gut hangs over your belt buckle, get your fiber up, get your water in, and you'll see how much weight you'll lose very quickly just by doing that. And when I say weight, I'm not talking about fat and water, I'm talking about shit. So get that checked. If you don't believe me, definitely Google what I'm talking about. I'm not speaking up my ass, but you might be after you get your water in, okay? That was a joke. When I say speaking, you get the joke. All right. So number six, guys, when it comes to the 8 tips for you to get rid of your gut, to shrink, all right, the amount of fat that you have, the amount of adipose tissue that we call, all right, on your gut, on your abdominal wall, is, of course, and I'm gonna say this one because you know him, he's one of your favorites, Homer Simpson. What do we know about Homer Simpson? All right, Homer Simpson loves his fucking beer, all right, and Homer Simpson has a beer belly. Do you think it's a coincidence that he has a beer belly and that you have a gut and you drink the way that he drinks? I don't think it's a coincidence. All right. So number six, guys, is limit alcohol consumption. You can enjoy alcohol in moderation. All right. But you want to limit, again, I don't even have to explain this. You all know about alcohol. You all know that it's not the best thing for you, especially beer, empty calories, barley. I'll give you a fun fact about beer, especially within men. First of all, the more fat that you have as a man and you're not exercising, if you're bulking, it's a little bit different, but not really. If the more fat you have, the more feminine you are, essentially. The more estrogen that you carry as a man, which is not good. That's why we call soy boys soy boys. And soy has what? Estrogen. It's like mainly, like estrogen is a female hormone. We want more testosterone, which is why we want to lean more to an anabolic state, which is basically being a little bit leaner, putting on a little bit more muscle, and keeping our hormones in a state where we are closer to being anabolic, meaning we have a lot more muscle and we are producing muscle. All right, so in order to stay more anabolic, we have to refrain from alcohol because alcohol has adverse effects. Whether it's beer or just any other form of alcohol, it does fuck with your testosterone as a man, but specifically beer. Barley, it has a lot of estrogen in it, just like soy does. And barley is like it's like a grain, right? Regardless of what kind of beer or alcohol you're drinking, you want to limit your consumption. It also does contribute to dehydration, and dehydration, again, goes against what we just mentioned with staying hydrated, and that could fuck your bowel movements up. So let's be smart about it, guys. Limit your alcohol consumption. All right. I don't have to say much about that. Number seven out of the 8 tips for you to reduce your belly fat, okay, is to make healthy choices. This ties into everything I just said, the previous 6 tips that I just mentioned. All right. So again, just think about it. What is a healthy choice? Let's think of something that isn't what I just mentioned. Okay, what is a healthy choice? Fucking avoiding doing dumb shit, like avoid smoking. All right, and focus on leading a healthy lifestyle. Whether it's smoking, whether it's vaping, let's even think of mental health here because we want to factor in cortisol and manage stress, right? Like stop doing things that give you a quick fix so often. Right? Somebody on the live stream here says salad. Awesome. Right? Like eating healthier, right? But what are some things mentally that give us, this that make it a little bit difficult for us that are not such great choices, not such healthy choices for our mentality? Anything that releases dopamine very quickly. So if you're scrolling every single day from the morning when you wake up to the nighttime, that's fucking with your dopamine. It's gonna make you feel super drained. It's gonna make you feel demotivated. It's gonna make your life kind of feel like shit, especially with all the content and nonsense that most people are spewing out today to make you feel bad, right? Because negativity is what gets the clicks and views. It's not good for your mind, and that can, increase stress levels, which again increases cortisol, which again increases water retention, which again makes it a little bit harder to burn fat because of your body being in a state of fight or flight. Okay? You want to be aware of that. All right? So healthy choices just isn't what you put in your mouth, it's also what you put in your head. Okay? So what's another thing? Video games. I know a lot of if you have a gut so that hangs over your belt buckle and you are a man in your 20s to I'll say late 30s, even early 40s, you probably struggle with video games too. Like you probably love video games. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're just like a hard worker and you're packing on the fat because you're just driving a lot if you're a truck driver. I understand that. That's cool. I can't knock that. But again, instant gratification is not going to help you, whether it's through video games, whether it's through the smoking, whether it's weed, nicotine, vaping, guys, even, right? Pornography, all that stuff. Instant gratification is not going to help your mentality, and smoking or eating like shit is not going to help your physical body. So again, number seven, make healthy choices. You already know what they are. I don't have to tell you. All right, so be health conscious. And guys, number eight, when it comes out to the eight tips for you to reduce the amount of fat that you have on your stomach and to have your stomach not hang over your belt buckle. Number eight here, and this one is if you've been trying all the seven steps, you haven't been able to be consistent no matter how many times you tried. Maybe you're one of those people that say, New year, new me, I'm gonna fucking be this person. You wait, watch January 1st hits, and you do it for a week, you do it for 2 weeks, you do it for a month or two, and then you're back, at scratch where you started, and you can't seem to be consistent. Number eight is seek professional advice. Okay? And this doesn't just mean hire a fitness coach, because I am a fitness coach. Shameless plug, I'm the head coach of the Natural Nomad Academy. If you want to join and learn how to lose body fat up to 20 fucking pounds, right, while still eating clean 80% of the time, eating junk food, processed shit 20% of the time, I can show you how to do that. But you're gonna have to DM me. We'll talk about it and see if you'll be a good fit. But what does seek professional advice it mean? Like, what does this mean? Seek professional advice. What does it mean? It means you have to have the courage to talk to a doctor if you're fucking confused about what's going on in your body. All right, so let's wind back to the example that I gave you guys about sleep apnea. Okay. What is it about sleep apnea that you know? Maybe nothing. All right. And can you go to Google to learn a little bit more? Absolutely. But does it apply to you? Right? So how do you figure out if it applies to you? Don't just sit there and try to like self-diagnose yourself. You want to go to a doctor and figure that out. Talk to the doctor about it. Maybe you want to go do your blood work. Maybe you want to go do your urinalysis just to see everything that's going on in your body. Maybe you're pre-diabetic and you don't even know it. So seek professionals' advice, okay? And if you're struggling with mental issues, as Patty says here on the live stream, you might want to go to a counselor. You might want to check out a psychologist or a psychiatrist to see what's really going on, a therapist, right? And if you struggle with all those things, okay, or maybe you don't struggle with those things and you still want help, you just need somebody in your corner to push you. And someone to teach you step by step how to change your body, how to change your mindset, and adopt healthier choices and live in a healthier lifestyle, you have to look at someone that's already doing that and work with them. Again, shameless plug to me. All right. So consult with a healthcare professional or personalized guidance, whether it's for your mentality, whether it's for your fitness, whether it's for your internal health. There is a department for everything that you should have somebody in. Honestly, maybe some of your stress is financial. talk to a financial advisor. Learn better skills with your finances. Like, there, for every division of your life, for every category of your life, there is a professional that can help you. I'm not saying fucking hire somebody for your mental and for your physical and all that stuff. Like, that could be quite expensive, right? But you want to make sure that you check all those boxes, but not by yourself, because we can't do everything by ourselves. And I say that, like, me included, to myself. Like, I have a coach. I'm a coach. I have a coach. All right? I have coaches, actually. Right? So be aware of these things. We can't fix everything on our own. All right? So I'm going to very briefly run top to bottom through the list, the eight things, the eight steps, the eight tips, tricks, however you want to put it, eight hacks to reduce your belly fat. All right? So number one, eat well. Number two, move regularly. Number three, manage stress. Number four, sleep well. Again, quality sleep. Number five, stay hydrated. Number six, limit your alcohol consumption. Number seven, make healthy choices, not just the food you put in your mouth, but the content you consume and the addictions or vices you might have with vapes, with, you know, video games, with pornography, so on and so forth. Okay? And number eight, seek professional advice or guidance. All right? Remember, guys, small, consistent changes lead to lasting results. All right? That's it. That's all. If you like this episode, share it out with a friend. Don't forget to like, share, or comment this podcast. Leave a review to show your support. Again, it really does go a long way. Wouldn't be able to do this without you guys. If you were not listening, I don't know who would be. All right? Hope I was able to deliver a valuable experience to you guys and girls today. Thank you so much for your precious time and attention. Again, guys, let's embrace your inner meathead together. It's been nice chatting. Hope what you like what today's topic was about. IFBB Pro Matt Brutale signing out. Boom. Thank you so much for your precious time and attention. This is the number one podcast for anyone on this planet, country, or nation who wants to get in the best physical shape for their next vacation. Don't forget to implement at least one thing from this podcast. Remember, information without implementation is just fucking noise. I provide actionable value for a reason. Take full advantage of it. If you laughed, cried, got any value, motivation, or inspiration from this podcast, share it out to one friend who you know will enjoy it too. Shameless plug, subscribe to my YouTube channel, Matt Brutale, if you want to know this meathead on a more personal level. Heads up, it's not safe for work, and it can get explicit. Viewer's discretion is advised, but I promise you will still laugh, learn, and get value. Also, if you want to lose 25 pounds and become a part of the Natural Nomad Academy and join the meathead community, feel free to DM me and I'll see if you'll be a good fit. Let's embrace your inner meathead. All right? It's been nice chatting. Hope you like what today's topic was about. Natural Nomad Academy head coach and natural IFBB Pro Matt Brutale signing out.